Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Israel, a battleground for control. Hi, everybody. You're listening to the Tamar Yonah Show here on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. Today, we're going to be speaking about facts on the ground that are happening here in Israel with encroachment on public lands, lands that don't belong to people. And this is what we're seeing with Bedouin, Arabs, etc. And where is the rule of law? Where is the justice? Where are the people who may own this land, etc.? And we're going to be speaking with Naomi Kahn, who is the director of Regavim. I'll tell you more about that when I introduce her later on the show. Also, the United States wanting to open up a Palestinian consulate in Jerusalem for Arabs. Why? Jerusalem is the eternal capital of the Jewish people. No other entity ever had Jerusalem as its capital. All of the occupiers here, whether it was the Romans, the Greeks, the Ottomans, etc., none of them ever made Jerusalem a capital for their occupying power. Jerusalem has always and only been the capital of the Jewish people. And now there's the fight over Jerusalem. And the United States wants to make a consulate for the Arabs. Why? Why? When there is already in Jerusalem a embassy which serves both Arabs and Jews. So why build an extra consulate that's apartheid that only serves Arabs and is part of Israel? And these are Arabs who already have a place. All right, we're going to be talking about all of this when we get back. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Tamar Yonah Show here at Israel News Talk Radio. I want to say hi to people who are listening in from all over the world, from, all over the United States, Israel, Kenya, Russia, the United Kingdom, India, Jamaica, Nigeria, Canada, the Netherlands, etc., etc. It's so nice to see you all here. We're going to be right back.
How did a nice Jewish girl from Delaware end up living in Israel? Shalom, I'm Natalie Sapinski. Join me on my show, Returning Home. Meet different people who have moved to Israel. Hear their personal stories, their highs, their lows, and everything in between. Each week, we talk to experts on immigration and the process of moving to Israel. Listen to Returning Home every Thursday, only on Israel News Talk Radio.
All right, we are back here at the Tamar Yonah Show on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com, and we're talking about the battleground for control here in Israel. Our guest is Naomi Kahn. She is from Regavim. Now, Regavim is a public movement in Israel dedicated to the protection of Israel's national lands and resources. The movement acts to prevent illegal seizure of state land and to protect the rule of law and clean government in matters pertaining to land use policy in the state of Israel. Our guest, Naomi Kahn, is the director of Regavim's International Division and is my guest today on the show to talk about the illegal encroachment of Arabs on Jewish land and all that surrounds it. And you can visit the Regavim website to see more for yourself at www.regavim.org. Let me spell that out for you, Regavim, Regavim.org. So I want to welcome to the show Naomi Kahn.
Good morning. Thanks for inviting me.
All right. So when we look in the news, we're seeing that right now the United States has been pushing to open up a Palestinian consulate in Jerusalem, the holy city, the capital city of Israel, not the Palestinian Authority. Let me just read a few things here. CNN reports, quote, Israel doubles down against U.S., saying there's no room in Jerusalem for an American consulate for Palestinians. Why does the Biden administration want to make a consulate for Arabs in Israel's capital city, Jerusalem? How would that affect Israel if it were to give in to Biden on the issue? So that's my question. What would happen?
Well, it's something that must not happen for a variety of reasons. What the United States essentially is trying to do, what the Biden administration is trying to do, and obviously there are many, including hundreds of senators and congresspeople who have spoken out against this plan. What the Biden administration is trying to do is essentially de facto create the Palestinian state in Israel with Jerusalem as its capital. When you open a consulate to someplace, you declare that that is its capital. This move by the United States would not only violate American law, the Jerusalem law that was passed in the United States in 1995, it would violate international law, essentially the customary law that controls all diplomatic relations or sets the guidelines and the framework for international relations. The Vienna Convention, and it says quite clearly that you cannot open a foreign mission of any kind without the permission of the host country. The mm-hmm. United States is trying to circumvent this. So the first and foremost thing it would be a violation of Israeli sovereignty, because it would not recognize that Israel has the right, it is the host country, and that means that it doesn't recognize that Jerusalem is
wow.
part of Israel.
Wow.
So that's number one. Number two is when you open a consular or an embassy, a mission of a diplomatic mission in a place, you declare that that is the capital of that place, which means that Jerusalem would then be the capital of Palestine. Now you'll say, well, Palestine doesn't exist. Well, I agree. But once it has a capital city, and that capital is Jerusalem, and it has a superpower that is recognizing that entity, and you can call it whatever you like. You can call it a consulate, you can call it an embassy, but it doesn't. The plan was for this diplomatic representation in Jerusalem, and I will stress in West Jerusalem, not in East Jerusalem, in West Jerusalem, would not answer to the United States embassy in Israel. It would be a completely separate entity that would answer directly to the State Department. So you can call it a consulate if you like, but that is what an embassy does. It is not subservient, not under the auspices of any other embassy, which means that it is an embassy. So all of these things are extremely problematic, both in terms of Israeli law, in terms of American law, in terms of international law, and they would essentially create, or they would give recognition to Jerusalem as a capital of two different countries, would remove recognition of Jerusalem as Israel's capital, and would create recognition of Jerusalem as the capital of Palestine. These are extremely problematic things. These undermine the entire concept of a negotiated resolution. These undermine the entire concept of sovereignty of the state of Israel. This must not happen.
So those are excellent points that you brought up. And I want to even add to that, because the New York Post writes, first, it's illogical. A consulate is nothing more than a satellite office to an embassy. There's already a U.S. embassy in Jerusalem, and there's no other country in which the United States maintains both an embassy and a consulate in the same city. That's number one. Second, it's a waste of taxpayer money, because the U.S. embassy already provides consular services on a non-discriminatory basis to Arabs and Israelis alike. And third, fourth, and fifth, legally speaking, a Palestinian consulate in Jerusalem would violate American, Israeli, and international law, just as you said. So, Americans, you should be up in arms because this is more money of your taxes going for something that is not needed, that is against international law, that is a threat against Israel. And I want to bring this back to you for a moment, Naomi, because America has always been touted as, you know, Israel's best friend, and now we've got the Biden administration in, and you would wonder why they're taking this policy. So perhaps America isn't Israel's best friend anymore.
I'm not willing to say that. What I am willing to say is that the Biden administration was, and this may ring somehow familiar to Israelis who follow Israeli politics or anyone who follows Israeli politics, the Biden administration is dead set on undoing anything the previous administration, the Trump administration, did. So if the Trump administration finally gave full recognition to Israel's sovereignty in Jerusalem and recognized Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, which it had to by law, the Biden administration would like to undo that simply because the Trump administration did it. So we're caught in the middle of that. In addition, the Biden administration announced probably and has acted since it took office really that the more extreme left wing of the Democratic Party would have a far greater influence in this administration, and that, as we know, that part of the Democratic Party is extremely pro-Palestinian. So I wouldn't say that America is not Israel's best friend. I would say that America is a country that has interests of its own, political and geopolitical interests of its own. And we, as a sovereign country, should have those exact same types of principles that guide us. The Israeli government has the power not only to object to this proposed move, but to stop it. And even among friends, you have to disagree when your own interests are at risk. And that's what the United States is willing to do because it has its own interests. And Israel, it's time that Israel behaved like a grown-up sovereign country and did exactly the same, stood up for itself, for its rights, and demanded the respect for its sovereignty that every sovereign country deserves and knows how to demand.
Okay, so this is a good segue into my next question, and that is, with Israel's new government led by Naftali Bennett and with the left, and including in the coalition the Arab Ra'am Party, which is news reports have come out showing that they've been passing Israeli tax money to terrorist organizations. And the fact that Bennett is not going to, is weak in when it's fighting the United States on something like this, and is weak in saying no to passing money to terrorist organizations by its partner in the coalition, Ra'am, because he doesn't want the coalition to fall apart. If Ra'am says, we don't like what you're doing with America, or we don't like what you're doing with whatever policy they want, they can say, we're going to bolt. You're not going to have your 60 seats at least that you need. And therefore, you're going to fall and you won't be prime minister anymore.
That is absolutely the way it works, and that is exactly why there have been many concessions made already. This government has done things that no other government was willing to do in order to appease the Ra'am Party. For example, there was recently a ministerial committee approved an amendment to Israel's electricity law. Now, this sounds like something extremely technical that has pretty much no effect on you and me and everyone else. Unfortunately, it's precisely the opposite. For years, for 10 different times, the Arab parties have tried to amend this law, and the Israeli Zionist parties have blocked it. I can tell you more about it after the break, but this has far-reaching consequences for the rule of law and the battle to control Israel's land resources going down the line.
All right. And so we're going to go to a break. And when we get back, you can finish answering that question. And I'm going to ask you about the encroachment on the land with Arabs, Bedouins taking over land that doesn't belong to them, squatting there, making facts on the ground. This is very important as well. You know, if an Israeli would do that, you would see the army right there tearing down anything that they built, pulling them out, arresting them. It's been done before over and over and over again to the Jews. When it comes to the Arabs, it's a completely different situation, and we're going to find out why that is as well. Everybody, we're going to be back just after the break. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to The Tamar Yonah Show here at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. We'll be right back.
Shalom, everybody. Making a difference often takes just one moment and one person at a time. I am Orly Benny Davis, your show host on Israel News Talk Radios from Jerusalem with love. You'll be hearing people talking about politics, religion, social issues, and making a better tomorrow. Join me, Orly Benny Davis, for God and Country. From Jerusalem with love.
Wednesdays on Israel News Talk Radio.
We are back here at the Tamar Yonah Show on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. And our guest is Naomi Kahn. She is the International Director for Regavim. I should say she's the Director of Regavim's International Division. She's my guest today on the show, and we're talking about Arab encroachment on Israeli land, the battleground for control here in Israel. And in the last segment, I was asking you about the Arab Ra'am Party passing Israeli tax money to their organizations, which are their NGOs, but are actually terrorists. And you were talking to us about that.
Yeah. So I'll preface the whole thing by saying that Israel's democratic system, Israel's system of government, is a parliamentary system. And that is sometimes very good system and sometimes not. So the current situation that we have here in Israel right now, the coalition that that is governing this country is being supported essentially by the swing votes of the Ra'am Party. And people say, well, you know, that's part of the democratic process. That's great. Until to this day, that has been an option in various stages of Israel's history and has never actually been, that option has never been exercised until now, with very good reason, including in your government, a party that does not believe in your vision of a Jewish and Zionist homeland is a problem. So, for example, I mentioned the electricity law, this seemingly technical but incredibly far-reaching amendment to Israel's electricity law. There is an epidemic of illegality in Arab society in Israel. The Israeli government for years has ignored illegal behavior of all kinds in the Arab sector because it doesn't want to enforce the law and being accused of being racist, of being prejudiced, et cetera, et cetera. Israel has done tremendous harm to the rule of law in Israel, to the progress of the state of Israel as a whole, and not least, certainly not least, to the Arabs themselves, who are living in a situation of lawlessness. One of the main things that Regavim deals with is illegal construction. And the illegal construction in the Arab communities in Israel is more the rule than the exception. It is rampant, and it has created a situation where the state cannot create infrastructure because all of the quote-unquote public areas are taken up by private illegal construction. So one of the only tools that the state of Israel had in its toolbox, which made crime not pay so much, was the fact that illegally built structures without building permits, were not allowed to be connected to the electrical grid. they did all sorts of illegal connections, pirated lines from all over or whatever. But electricity was a main carrot to hold before people who considered building illegally. And now the Ra'am party has succeeded in forcing the government to amend the law so that tens of thousands of illegally built structures will be hooked up to the electrical grid, meaning that there is no more any reason why a person would even think twice about building illegally, no more reason why all of the court orders for demolition of illegal structures will be carried out, no more reason why these communities can ever expect to get any sort of proper planning, any sort of proper infrastructure development, because they're just going to be encouraged to build more and more illegal structures and to leave the illegal structures that are already on the ground precisely where they are. Since the law was passed, it's taken the Arab parties tried around 10 different times, 10 different ways to pass an amendment that would allow all this illegal construction to be whitewashed. And the Zionist parties have always blocked it. And now that the Ra'am party is in the government, and this was one of their main demands, they haven't blocked it. Not only have they not blocked it, they have approved it. So Regavim tried very, very hard, and we succeeded to a large extent, to mitigate the catastrophic results of this amendment by making certain requirements part of the amendment that would protect Israel's planning and construction laws somewhat. But this is just the first sign of how the government is really being held hostage by the Ra'am party that has completely different interests and a completely different vision for what the future of Israel should look like. So again, there was a media report that Ra'am itself has close connections with certain groups in the Gaza Strip that it funnels money to and cooperates with, and these are known terrorist organizations. So there has to be a full investigation of these things. I cannot comment on it since I don't really know very much about the Gaza NGO that is in question, but I can tell you that the Ra'am party is an Islamist party and doesn't hide that. And although the people who vote for Ra'am are citizens of Israel, they share a vision of the future that is completely at odds with my vision of the future for Israel as a Jewish state. So we have a problem.
Yeah, I think you should just, you know, say it flat out that they want to see the destruction of the Jewish state. They want to see an Arab state here. They want to see the destruction of Israel. And I think it's shameful that the people that are in the Knesset today, that are in that are in the government, that are in power, I know we have left-wing Jews there. However, still, I would think, one would think that even if you're a leftist, you still want a Jewish state here, and that they don't go up in arms about this, and they don't say, we will not tolerate money going to kill Jews. And remember, the terrorists don't distinguish between leftist Jews and right Jews or religious Jews or secular Jews. And you would think that they would not tolerate something like this. And they in themselves would demand that this stop or they will leave the government. But people are too hungry for power, it seems.
It's very, very disturbing that the present government essentially has set aside all ideology, has set aside all vision for extremely short-sighted, short-term political gain. It's very worrying because without ideology, we have nothing. The state of Israel was created because of ideology. We exist, we continue to exist because of ideology. We are an ideological society. We are an ideological people. Very, very different ideas about how that ideology should be expressed on the ground, but ideology nonetheless. And that means that a marriage of convenience with those who don't share the basic ideology the basic recognition of the Jews, the Jewish connection to this land, we have a very serious problem. Setting aside all ideology means setting aside the very reason why we are here. And we can't afford to do that. We can't afford to lose sight of that. Mm-hmm. Israel is not like other countries that are created as a question of civil convenience, live and let live, and you don't have to share anything beyond the fact that you're willing to obey the law. Even that most basic concept is being undermined by the inclusion of the Ram Party that has essentially forced the government of Israel to recognize, to whitewash, to legalize gross violations of the law. That includes this electricity thing. That includes legalizing illegal squatters camps down in the Negev that are taking over massive, massive swaths of state land that we need to build a better future for everyone in Israel. Many, many things that Rigovin has been sounding the alarm about for many, many years, for 16 years since Rigovin was founded, are finally coming into the spotlight on the national agenda, but not in a good way, because Ra'am's demands have essentially, they're holding the government over a barrel, and far too many of our, quote-unquote Zionist representatives in the Knesset don't understand what it is that they're doing when they sign something that seems like a technical law to allow electrical hookups for illegal structures or to legalize existing squatters camps. They're not doing anyone any favors, and they are creating a situation that will have very long-term, far-reaching, and very significant impacts on Israel's ability to flourish in the future.
Naomi, we have 30 seconds until the break, but if you can, just try to encompass why Israel tolerates this. This is not just something that is now because of the Arab party in the government, but forever it seems that Israel has tolerated illegal Arab building, while as soon as a Jew builds something, the army is right there to tear it down.
Israel is very, very sensitive to name calling. Let's put it that way. Israel doesn't want to be accused of racism. It doesn't want to be accused of being anti-Arab. Very much is interested in making peace with the Arab residents of this country so that we don't have to live in a constant state of turmoil. But has gone about achieving that, I believe, in a very unfortunate way.
Okay, when we get back after the break, and it'll be our last segment, I want to ask you about another problem with the Arabs here in Israel, and that is Arab-Islamic polygamy, and why that is a danger for Israel as well. You're listening to the Tamar Yonah Show here at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. We're going to be back after the break. Everybody, don't go anywhere. We have a very interesting segment coming up.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
This is Shai Bentekoa, and each week I'll be webcasting to you from Judea, origin of the word Jew, a people besieged and beleaguered in every generation. Nazi Germany is but a memory, but in its place the world invented the phantom Palestinians as this generation's internationally authorized Jew killers. Tune in for a different slant on life in Israel, Phantom Nation, every Monday.
Hi, I'm Rabbi David Aaron. The soul basics are the most profound, the most essential, and yet often the most neglected in our education. Join me for Soul Talk on Israel's News Talk Radio and discover the secrets to love, spiritual growth, and personal power.
All right, we are back here at the Tamar Yonah Show on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com, and we're talking about the battleground for control here in Israel. And our guest is Naomi Kahn. She is the director of Regavim's International Division. You can go visit their website at regavim.org, and we will post a link to that website on our page where the show is podcasted after it goes live. So in the last segment, Naomi, and this now is our last segment, I wanted to ask you about the danger of Arab Islamic polygamy here in Israel.
Well, this fits in very, very well with the subjects that we were talking about before, because polygamy is illegal in the state of Israel. It has been practically since the day the state of Israel was born. And polygamy is practiced by only one sector in this country, that is the Bedouin sector. Well, the Arab sector, there is polygamy as well, but in general, polygamy is practiced in the Bedouin sector more heavily in the Negev than anywhere else, and more heavily in the illegal Bedouin squatters' camps than anywhere else. The state of Israel knows that these families are polygamous. They know very, very well. They know what disastrous offense the practice of polygamy has on the country and on society, and most particularly on the Bedouin themselves and the Bedouin women and children. But because they have been afraid to be accused of being racist, being prejudiced, being colonialists, being culturally oppressive, they have failed to enforce the law against polygamy 100% for over 70 years. So what are the upshot of all of this? So first of all, the Bedouin society, Bedouin population of the Negev is the fastest growing population in the world. The state of Israel spends billions every year subsidizing the practice of polygamy. And the practice of polygamy, because Bedouin in this country are given free land as an incentive to move into legal communities and not to build illegally, Bedouin and this massively, rapidly growing population are swallowing up Israel's land reserves in the Negev at an alarming rate. All of it illegal, all of it just under the radar, and all of it subsidized by Israeli tax, the Israeli taxpayer without his or her knowledge. This is a tremendous problem. The practice of polygamy is not only impacting any possible planning for the future of and normal use of our land reserves. It's also creating a society of disenfranchised people, of people who are raised in poverty, backwardness, ignorance, oppression. The women who are being brought in to the Negev in order to practice polygamy are actually the products of highly radicalized educational and religious systems, and that is also radicalizing the entire Bedouin population of the Negev, and you see it all the time now. Unfortunately, the rate of conscription of Israeli Bedouin in the Negev is less than 1%. That means less than 1% of the people eligible are actually going to consider themselves enough of a part of Israeli society to fulfill their required national service. The religious atmosphere in the Negev is radicalized, the political atmosphere in the Negev is radicalized, and all of this essentially is because the state of Israel has shown that it is unwilling to enforce the law in a most basic sense and prevent people from importing, essentially buying and selling women for the practice of polygamy in order to get more and more land, to get more and more government subsidies. All of these women are given massive support by the government as single mothers. Their children are given additional subsidies because they are children of, let's call it, non-standard family units. All of these things are costing us billions, creating a time bomb that has begun to explode. We see terrorism, we see lawlessness, we see crime, we see drug trade, we see smuggling, we see the situation in the Negev is out of control, and now everyone knows it. And that's because of the government's failure to enforce the law. Polygamy is the engine behind much of this lawlessness. And it is also the engine, or it is intertwined in such a way that it can't be separated from the whole problem that we first identified, and that is the illegal construction. The illegal use of Israel's resources is intertwined with this practice of polygamy, and it has created a general atmosphere of lawlessness that if the state of Israel doesn't do something about aggressively and quickly, without delay, it will be a massive problem for the future of Israel as a whole, and not only for the Negev, and not only for Bedouin society. Tamar?
Okay, so I'm sorry, my microphone was wonky, as they say. So, you know, I don't remember the name of the Knesset member, but she's female. I think she's in the Likud, if I'm not mistaken. And she was showing on her Facebook page how she was at some electric power station for one of the communities in the South, and how the Arabs, or I don't know if they're a Bedouin or who, but they had basically stolen, they had broken a hole in the fence, they had put a wire in and taken it to their village, and they're getting free electricity. They're stealing it. The Jews are paying for it, and no one's doing anything about it, because they had said that if you cut this wire that we are stealing the electricity from, we will then go in and destroy the whole, you know, shebang, the whole infrastructure, because if we're not going to have it, no one's going to have it. And this is lawlessness. When Israel is trying to bend over backwards in order to appease and to try to have a nice name for itself, that, look, we're so wonderful to our minorities, even letting them break the law, and et cetera, et cetera, this is what we're seeing. We're seeing a lack of respect for the law. We're seeing vagrant violations of the law. We're seeing theft. We're seeing injustice of people paying for something that they're not paying for. They're using as much electricity as they want to without paying for it. And electricity is very expensive in Israel. So in the last 2 minutes that we have, how can, you know, what would you like to say about that?
So Rigavim has been trying to spotlight these issues for years. It's not just electricity, and it's not just in one place. It is systematic. And for example, we put up a couple of videos in the past few months about water in the Negev.
Right, water. It also.
The Supreme Court of Israel essentially said all illegal squatters camps have to be hooked up to water, because you can't leave people living in the Negev desert without water. Well, they shouldn't be there to begin with. If you give them water and electricity, what incentive is there for them not to build illegally and to stop creating these sprawling squatters camps? Right. But the Supreme Court decided that this was the case. So we put up some explanatory videos, which I encourage everybody to look at. They're on our YouTube channel, on our Facebook page. Water in the Negev is an absolute absurdity. These illegal camps have a water meter, which they completely bypass. And even when they don't bypass them, only about 20% of everyone in the Negev using water in these communities actually pays for it. So who's paying for it? As you mentioned, in addition to everything else, the percentage of damage to the infrastructure of the water companies themselves and the electric company itself and communications companies and the highways and everything else, the percentage of lost funds, meaning the amount that the government has to subsidize for damage, for theft, for vandalism, all of these things, is dozens of percentages higher than everyone else, everywhere else in the country. But nobody complains, because I'm paying for it. You're paying for it. Every Israeli citizen is paying for it. And we're subsidizing the water for all of these quote unquote weak communities. These aren't communities. These are illegal squatters camps. And until the state of Israel does something serious to rein in this practice of illegality, illegal construction, and everything that goes along with it, we are all going to continue to pay, and the situation will spiral further and further out of control. We have a government for a reason. We have a sovereign state for a reason. And that every sovereign state, the most basic job of a sovereign government is to decide who uses the resources and how, to regulate how those resources are used so that there are resources for the future. It's time for the state of Israel to begin to behave like a sovereign state everywhere in the country.
Right. They and just enforce the law. That's all that they have to do is just enforce the law. You use water, you pay for it. You use electricity, you pay for it, and you don't take it illegally. You live where the government tells you you can live. And if you don't like it, then you go through the legal process of asking the council to open up these lands to live. You do things legally. Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. Well, we have about 30 seconds left. What would you like to leave us with?
There's a wealth of information about all of these topics and much, much more on our website, on our Facebook, we even have a Telegram channel now. We have a YouTube channel. And I'm also very, very easy to find if there are specific questions. So look at our website, first of all, that will branch off into everything else, regavim.org. We update it regularly. You can follow us on Facebook to get a deeper understanding of what it is that we do.
Great.
Regavim ENG.
Thank you so much, Naomi Kahn, for being with us. And again, www.regavim.org. We will post that on the page where this show is podcasted. Thank you, everybody, for being with us.
Israel News Talk Radio's chat room. Just click the orange button at the top of the IsraelNewsTalkRadio.home page, log in as yourself or an anonymous guest, and join in on the fun. You'll meet other listeners from all over the world who listen to Israel News Talk Radio, and you can make new friends. Israel News Talk Radio's chat room. It's the closest you can get to being in the studio with us.
We love listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Where can you get the inside news on Israel? At Israel News Talk Radio, we're dedicated to sharing Israel's inside story with the world by providing our listeners with news on Israeli politics, current affairs, and Israeli Jewish culture. The Israel News Talk Radio homepage also provides you, the listener, with useful information at your fingertips, with scrolling news headlines, weather, currency exchange, Shabbat candlelighting times, and so much more. Our radio programming is always accessible and on demand. We operate absolutely free of charge for everyone, everywhere. If you love what we do, partner with us now by becoming an Israel News Talk Radio supporter. With your support, you'll be inscribed on our Israel News Talk Radio Wall of Fame. There's nothing like us in the world. Be part of something great. Israel News Talk Radio, straight talk from Israel.
If you love Israel News Talk Radio, then you'll love our Facebook page. We keep you up to date on what's happening in Israel, plus little surprise treasures that we don't share on the radio. Go now to follow us on Facebook. Just look for the Israel News Talk Radio Facebook page, and don't forget to subscribe and follow us by clicking on the like button. We post great stuff there that you'll want to share. Israel News Talk Radio on Facebook and Israel News Radio on Twitter.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.